You thought you'd gotten rid of us, didn't you? But you were wrong, old bean, because we're back with a vengeance.
From studios in Hollywood, California, rural southern Indiana, and the hinterlands of North Dakota, this is the Live, Laugh, Golf Podcast. And now, here are your hosts, Desert Duffer, OTB Lefty, and Jay Score.
Welcome back to the podcast. Desert Duffer here. We're cranking them out. 48 hours later, we're recording this on Wednesday night. We'll release it on Thursday. OTP Lefty, J Score, how are you?
I'm doing very well. I am officially on the precipice of vacation, heading out to play Chambers Bay, among other courses, out in the Pacific Northwest. So looking forward
amazing
to that.
We first are time out there?
It's my second time. I was out there last year and had a banner day and can't wait to do it. Hopefully do it again.
Headed back to heaven. Love it, man. Thanks for asking, Duff. I'm doing great. Had a day where I broke every single thing I touched, and I'm hoping that this podcast can break a record.
What you break specifically? Glass things, automobiles?
Well, I broke a couple of spreadsheets to start in the morning, and then I broke my lawnmower after work today. And then on the way to get stuff for the lawnmower, my truck started throwing a code. So it looks like we're going to be doing some amateur YouTube auto repair next week. And anybody that knows me in real life knows how crazy what I just said is.
Everybody in Indiana knows how to fix an engine.
Everyone except one. I'm the exception that proves the rule. It's funny. I just mentioned the number to someone I saw today, the code that came from the AutoZone, and somebody immediately went, oh, yeah, you got a lifter and you got a blah, 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 blah. I was like, oh, okay. And God bless you.
How about you, Duff? What do you have going on?
Oh, me? Thanks for asking, J-Score. Actually, a bit of a day myself. I just got back before we got on here. I went to my local grocery store, the world famous Rock and Roll Ralph's, and it's Halloween. Happy Halloween, I guess, because they had a full complement of Halloween paraphernalia up in the store. It is September 14th.
I honestly, as soon as Halloween comes up, I've golf season's over up here for me. I live in the north. It's a bummer for me. And then I thought I even saw Christmas creeping.
Well, here's the thing. It's not Halloween. Okay. We're 47 days from Halloween, which Halloween is not a holiday. It's just a party day. And it's a party day for children under 10 and girls in their 20s. That's it. That's all it matters to. Why am I getting Halloween decorations 47 days before Halloween? Halloween comes 47 days from now on October 31st, for those of you who don't know. And then it's 24 days to Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is an actual holiday. It's a really big deal here in this country. Why are we spending less time in the run-up to Thanksgiving than we are to Halloween? Can you tell me that?
Absolutely. The shelf life of the ingredients. That's why, because the candy was made in July and they can ship it out in bulk all over the place and it can sit there for 5 months. That's why. The bread goes bad. The oysters go bad, baby.
It's a 45,000 square foot supermarket. The candy aisle is really small. Like, that can't be it. It's just bored people love Halloween. I don't know.
I think Halloween just lends itself better to Pinterest. You know, I think big retail and Pinterest have combined for this massive, unstoppable wave of momentum, and we just gotta grin and bear it.
Grin and bear it. I also listen. I might not have been as upset if it weren't for the coffee situation as well. I use Keurig.
Oh,
I buy Starbucks Keurigs.
Oh. We'll never agree on this.
Well, that's fine. Whatever. We've talked about this before. I'm not a coffee snob, okay? But I was there a week ago and 10 Keurigs were $6.49. 7 days later, they're $10.99. That's a massive increase. We went from 65 cents a pod to over a dollar a pod.
My dad was stoked this morning. He found out he's getting almost a 9% raise next year.
Listen, I don't know. I'm going broke over here buying $1.10 coffee pods, and Jay Monahan is flying around the world on the PGA Tour jet, right? That's the big story in golf today. Wall Street
big
Journal
Jay
report.
Big Jay living that big life.
There's a story in the Wall Street Journal today by Mark Marimont and Andrew Beaton about Jay Monahan and the PGA Tour jet. Did you guys read it?
Got it right in front of me, Duff. What do you want to know?
I want to know your thoughts, your opinions. I know what it said. The guy's flying all around the world in a PGA Tour jet. He's the CEO or the president of a nonprofit 501c6 organization, and he apparently uses the private jet for everything from flying back and forth to mediocre PGA tournaments to going to Brooks Koepka's wedding in the Turks and Caicos.
Okay, I've got it right here for you. It's because it's a condition of his employment. In his contract, he is required, quote, he is required by its policy board, which includes players, to use the corporate plane for all air travel, business and personal, because it provides the, inner quote, necessary level of efficiency, privacy, and security, yeah. End quote. Heaven security. Forbid.
You got to be careful.
Heaven forbid this, this washed up SEC defensive coordinator looking sucker has to protect his security when he's on the road flying out of Moline.
Now, the security aspect of it is so ridiculous. Like, TSA is not sufficiently protecting Jay Monahan. He's got to go private. He's got to fly Atlantic Aviation. If you've ever been to an FBO, and I am fortunate enough to have been to a few, there's no security there. Like, it's not safer. Nobody's trying to kidnap Jay Monahan, and certainly nobody's going to hijack a 737 that they find out Jay Monahan is on. I'm not buying the security bit one iota.
So I hope he doesn't have guards.
No. So here's the thing, boys. I think you got to think about it. Why might it be a security concern, right? And again, there's a lot of building evidence here that, again, suggests Big J might be either directly involved or perhaps part of the Gulf Illuminati. And it's a powerful force. And I think you'd want to protect your
asset. Of course. I would think the Illuminati have their own security. I think the big issue here is optics, right? We all know, everybody knew that Jay Monahan's flying around in the PGA Tour jet, but it is 501c6. There were some lawyers, some nonprofit lawyers quoted in the article. Lawyers, you know, always trying to get in the mix.
Did you hear? I got to go back. I got to stop you there. Did you hear about the efficiency, Jay? If I was running a nonprofit, I would want to function as efficient as possible as well with my time. To not be efficient with your time would be, honestly, maybe a detriment to the nonprofit if you think about it.
It's true. You can't doubt it. In July, as a matter of fact, Jay's plane went from its base in St. Augustine, Florida to Missoula, Montana. A few days later, it went to Detroit, the site of that week's Rocket Mortgage Classic, before heading back to Missoula about 17 hours later on July 27th. So Jay's just, he's getting over there to the Ricky Classic. He's meeting with sponsors, maybe getting on air, doing that little interview bit, and then boom, back to Montana, hang out with Tom Brady and Giselle, right?
Absolutely. Nothing could have more value for the television viewer to get to see this person that they've never heard of and they don't know what he does, to talk about something that they don't understand and don't care about. The other part is the carryover from the Fincham era. This is someone who built up a lot of equity or whatever over time, had a long-standing board, no doubt. I don't have it all sitting in front of me, but I've been involved with organizations like this, that a guy just builds up a lot of power over time. And as a result, he gets things in his own comp plan working exactly the way that they should for him. In this same article, it says that Fincham
He's still getting $800,000 a year. Yeah,
Fincham's getting money ad infinitum on the Barry Bonds plan, but what it means for Jay Monahan, what the ramifications are for him.
Bobby Bonilla.
What did I call him? Barry Bonds?
Yeah.
Really good. Hey, I've been wrong before. The ramifications for Jay Monahan are that he gets the carryover from that. So all of that stuff that's already baked into a CEO comp plan, just in the interest of time and an efficient process, Fincham picks his successor. He hands him this great deal. This is all set up for you. And as a result, you get a comp plan that's kind of outsized.
Well, the other thing I think that stands out to me, remember that at the beginning of COVID, Jay Monahan made a big show of saying he was going to forego his salary as commissioner for the remainder of the pandemic. Then it turned out, as reported here first and now in the Wall Street Journal, Jay Monahan ended up receiving over $14 million in compensation in 2020, the big pandemic year. So, yes, Jay apparently decided to forego his salary, but most of his compensation came in the form of bonuses and incentives, which shockingly he reached and was able to achieve a total of $14 million, less than only one player on the PGA Tour, former player Dustin Johnson, now with LIV Golf.
Yeah, makes a ton of sense. You get with your compensation committee and you talk about all your headwinds and all that stuff, and you do it a couple of quarters in advance, and then you know exactly what numbers you have to hit. And you hit them, and then you get paid a big money.
So I want to get back to that big pile of money. That nonprofit lawyer. Her name was Elizabeth Kingsley. She says, given that the organization mandates the use of charter jets for personal travel, the disclosure, that is the disclosure on the PGA Tour's tax form, the 990, is at best misleading and at worst intentionally inaccurate. And she's a Washington lawyer who advises nonprofit organizations. So this predictably on Twitter, the response is, oh, Greg Norman is clearly paying somebody at the Wall Street Journal to do hatchet jobs. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. It does, by the way, one wonders where this information came from. Now, some of it is available in the 990, that is things like Jay Monahan's overall compensation. But also, it sounded like there was a source coming from inside the building, somebody at the PGA Tour who was confirming this information. That can't be good, according to the person familiar with the tour's position. Sounds troubling. Could be some dissension in the ranks down there at Pontevedra.
Well, and how else could they possibly try to get rid of Big J? I mean, if you think about it, we talked about it last episode about how the players are actually the product. There's a lot of, we've talked about the player's ability to vote J out. Is it even possible? I'm not really sure. I mean, if J protects the players in the sense that the players are the product, and you got to protect the product in order of the interest of the shareholders, advertising partners, etc. How do you get rid of Jay?
I listened to the Shotgun Star.
So protected and insulated.
Yeah, I listened to the Shotgun Star podcast earlier today, and Andy Johnson was calling for Jay's head. I can tell you that I've looked into trying to get the rights to the domain name firejmonahan.com, checking GoDaddy and other such sites. It seems to be unavailable at the time. It seems like somebody has already acquired the rights to firejmonahan.com. So I'm going to keep my eyes out. There may be something coming on that website in the coming days.
Keep your eyes peeled.
We love good SEC football vengeance coming out on the internet. Fantastic.
All right. Enough about Jay. We've got this is a big week. We've got a Live Golf week. Live Golf is going to Chicago or thereabouts, somewhere 30 to 40 miles west of Chicago.
It's a bit of a drive, I hear.
OTP Lefty, you're going to be there. You've got all the details. What's going on?
That's right. This week, Live Golf's Invitational moves to Chicago to Rich Harvest Farms in Sugar Grove, Illinois, about 40 miles southwest of Chicago. The downtown part that everyone recognizes. Rich Harvest Farms has been in existence since 1999. It's owned by Jerry, nicknamed Very Rich, who owned 1,820 acres out there and designed his own golf course. It's hosted many tournaments, including a recent Solheim Cup.
Is it any good? Has Jerry designed any other golf courses, or is this his solo masterpiece?
Well, it doesn't mention other courses that he has designed here, but I would bet, based on the fact that he owns an 1,820-acre farm in Sugar Grove, Illinois, and has since 1999, that he probably could volunteer his services for someone if he were required. The course has received many accolades, including Rolex, not so picky, one of the world's top 1,000 golf courses.
Listen, there's more. I think there are more than 1,000 golf courses. So
it's better than a golf course you could play. You know, I mean,
it's consistently one of Golf Digest's top 100. It's listed in the 75 toughest golf courses as of 2012. The top 50 locker rooms, the top 10 sets of caddies, the top 10 in service, top 10
in accommodations, top 50.
Top 10 in meals. This is where I'm going to watch a golf tournament. We're not going to struggle this weekend, folks.
All right.
We're going to be top 10 in wines and spirits. I'll be in high spirits and deep red wine.
Listen, I'm excited about you not having to do your business in an outhouse. But I want to know more about this top 50 locker room accolade. Where did this come from? Who named it that? Was it number 49? Were these ranked in order? Where can I find this list?
Because it's on the Golf Digest Index. That's what I've got. They're kind of pumping their own tires. I may or may not have been reading from a list. Tell me more.
I don't know
about the locker room if you know.
I don't know
anything. Anyway, just what a thing. How do you go in enough locker rooms to say, like, this one is just a little bit better than Wheaton? You know, like, this one's just a little bit worse than White
Bear.
Well,
you've got to have an objective.
Like, you know what I mean?
You've got to have an objective checklist, right? You got your thing. Does it have a bar inside the locker room? You check that off. Yes. You get a certain number of points for that. Do they have individual stalls, or do they have prison showers there? You get a certain number of points for that. So that's the way you've got to do it. I don't know what Golf Digest has done, but I would hope that they've initiated some sort of objective criteria to make this sort of proclamation about the quality.
Hey, let's stop right there. Give me the top three or four things off the top of your head that actually make a top locker room in your opinion?
Well, I already gave you one. The inside bar. I want to be able to wear a towel and drink whiskey in the locker room.
I accept. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Yep. Jay Score, you're next. We'll alternate. We'll be back to you.
Yeah. Duff mentioned it, but the shower stall situation, do you have your own stall and proximity of towel hooks and availability of shampoos, conditioner selection, those sorts of things. And basically the entire shower system, I think, has its own rating system.
So you're for individual shower, is what you're saying.
Listen, not that there's anything wrong with people who like the other, but yes, I think LLG as an organization advocates for individual showers.
By a narrow vote. Anyway.
It's more of an advocacy for privacy.
By a narrow vote for other reasons that we'll talk about later on down the line, folks. Anyway, Duffer, you're next. Number three. Yeah,
seating arrangements. Comfort and volume of seating, right? I want to have some comfy leather chairs. I want to feel a little bit like, my wife likes to call this style reclusive author. You know what I mean? I want rich, dark earth tones, leathers, right? I want to sit in a plush leather chair that's been around for a while. But I also want to have a little area where I can sit around a table and play cards or dice, or shoot the crap with my friends. And there needs to be a TV or two. What I like is a locker room feeling like a place that you want to hang out, like the club itself. That's what I like in a locker room.
Okay, item four. Jesse Score. Is there anything more?
What Duff covered was, again, fantastic. I mean, I feel like the best I've been in feel like a really comfortable sports bar I want to hang out in, basically, with, you know, all the amenities you could ever want. I think, like, bonus points for saunas or steam rooms or, you know, hot
tubs,
things like that. I think that's about it as far as how deep I've seen it go, I'm sure there's some places on the planet I would still be blown away by, but.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything we missed, OTP?
Oh, of course. I think there are a couple. One's a really tangible measure and the other one, maybe. So someone for me, I want to see some separation in the bathroom and the locker room facilities. Mm-hmm. All of these things that you guys are talking about, I want there to be a fair distance between those two things. So let's get that locker bank in between the restroom facilities and the stag area. Sure, let's do that. Sure. Bonus points if somehow someone has figured out a way to allow smoking in there form or another.
In 2022, that's a big ask.
If we can figure out a bay
window. The folks at home don't know, by the way. You don't smoke. You're a non-smoker. That's why you're a generous soul. OTP.
I'm a nicotinaholic. I used to smoke all of the things and now I can't.
You just like to
I wish
nearby.
I could.
You like to watch me enjoy a cigar.
Is it an ambiance thing or what is it? Secondhand smoke thing? Ambiance thing?
No, in general, I'm in favor of freedom and prosperity. I'm a rising tide raising all boats and people being able to follow their hearts.
We're anti-regulation except when it comes to antitrust and monopoly issues here on LLG.
Well, of course. I mean, of course, let's not get off brand. I'm just saying man to man here. If you want to, like, let's have a place where we can smoke cigars if we want to. If not, you know, if you guys want to defer to me and not smoke cigars because I'm sitting there, whatever.
Know,
there's this other thing.
Can you,
there's this
wait,
one
wait,
other
I
thing.
Need to interrupt you. Can you name me a couple of those places that still in this day and age in 2022 allow you to smoke indoors in a locker room? Because I don't think I've come across it.
I'm not sure. I think in Indiana, there would be some arcane thing about HVAC systems and 21 and up access and stuff. I was just saying that was bonus points.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Bonus points if you can smoke. Or if people would just kind of turn a blind eye.
I bet in Morfontaine you can smoke in
like,
the locker room.
Just a hint of grace with the staff would be good. The other thing, maybe controversial, can you get food in there? Like,
yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I didn't know if you could. I thought that was included in my bar thing.
Yeah.
But I want.
Well, we're doing
bar,
it like, a bar, but maybe not a bar attendant. Maybe like trap door,
yes.
Like a little back thing. Love like, that. Hey, like, how sure. about you just yeah, put yeah. them over here? Like, that's a bonus thing.
OTP, have you ever been to Northland Country Club in Duluth, Minnesota?
Yes, I have been to Northland, Derek.
Very high.
I spent a fateful weekend.
Very high on my list of locker rooms. Got many of the things that we've discussed. A separation between the bathroom, shoe area, lockers, and then the seating area. What I didn't mention, another great thing that they have there is the locker room leads out to a balcony that is separated from the rest of the balcony. Locker room only folks on this part of the balcony.
I think that's great. I think it's part of what you pay for. I think it's really great to be welcomed as a guest into something like that. And that's humbling and it's nice. Also, though, maybe even something a little bit more of a nook there. Anyway, this other thing, this is really, really personal. The periodicals. Where are they? Where did they come from? Sure. How often are they turned around?
That's something we're not gonna go into that.
They've got to be that's why we're talking about that. We're talking about that separation of different kinds of facilities.
I think you've said enough.
Okay, good.
All right.
Okay, good.
Anyway, I think we've spoken about Rich Harvest Farms and its locker room. What about the competition? What's going on with the teams here?
We're on to Chicago. So we got a couple of players are out this week and a couple of players are in. Out, Adrian Otaji.
Otaji? What have we decided? Otaji?
We've decided. Had a T-44 in Boston, but he is not.
In the 48 hours since our last podcast, it would have been great if somebody could have figured out the actual pronunciation of this man's name.
None of us looked it up.
God bless him regardless. Coming off a smoking hot T-44 in Boston, he's participating on another tour this week. Shergo Alkurdi off his T-35 in Boston is out because Henrik Stenson is back.
I will point out that Shergo is once again first alternate this week. Learned that from the Live Golf media people. He will be on site. If something happens, if anyone goes down, Shergo is Jordanian. As far as I know, we don't have any Jordanian listeners. Hoping to pick a couple of those up some increased discussion of Shergo.
Let's get around. Yeah. Let's get around. Spread the word, folks. Find your Jordanian friends and get them on the show. And back in at the top of the list, ladies and gentlemen, who's back? Pooj back. Pooj back. He's turned pro.
Join that chant for David.
So good. So good. So many great connections. Played at Arizona State. Almost won a national championship last year.
I guess this is our minute. All good. Why are you so particularly fond of David Puig?
I'm about 98% sure that's not how you pronounce his name. Anyway.
How's it pronounced?
So you, Pooj. I'm telling you. Anyway, let's go. So here's why. Here's why. There's great things all over the place, all over this thing, wherever you look. And the thing that everybody keeps missing all over is, what if it's great? It's going to be great. It's helping things. It's making the golf landscape better. This kid goes out on a limb as an amateur and comes and participates in this stuff. That is a stand-up guy. That's a brave guy. That's somebody who's exploring his options in a tough market, in a weird journalistic landscape, a weird media landscape, and doing what he thinks is best. There's nothing not to like.
Of course. I love that. I just thought maybe you had some sort of personal connection with David, either Pooj or Puig. I mean, folks who listen every week certainly hear you saying go Pooj at the end of every episode. I thought he might be a distant cousin or something.
We'd already be doing video if I was related to that kid.
By the way, he's no Akshay Bhatia. He doesn't have 111,000 Instagram followers or anything, right? He was number 9 in the amateur rankings. That's what he peaked at. And he's not a phenom.
That's right. But brother's got guts. Brother's got a mind.
All right. Well.
And that's what it takes. I mean, all the talk that happens out there about professional golf, there are thousands of people worldwide who can hit the shots, but they can't hit the shots when they have to hit them. And that's the difference. Everybody hits great shots, but some people never, ever hit a bad one when they can't hit a bad one. And that's the difference. And it takes the kind of fortitude, it takes the kind of mind this kid's got. He's got stones.
All right. I'm going to give you an over under on, I'm going to call him Puig. You can call him Pooj. 39.5. That's my over under on his finish place this week at Live Chicago.
He definitely finishes in the top 39.5.
Okay.
Definitely.
How much are we bet? I'm taking the over.
$20.
$20. All right. Moving on. Any other team updates or player updates? Okay. Should we talk about favorites this week? I mean, obviously my guys, the four aces, they're going to win again, right?
I think so. I mean, it's a true dynasty watch situation
right now.
It's
so sick. So I don't know if we talked about this on the last one, but I went to the Flash interview following the rounds and Dustin Johnson was up there talking, and somebody asked him about the team and how he ended up with the team. And he was totally honest. He said, yeah, I didn't really like the way it went after the first week. And so I was like, I need to pick my teams. And when they signed Taylor, I was like, hey, are you on a team? And he said, I don't know. I don't think so. And then I said, you're on my team. And thus, the dynasty of the Four Aces was formed.
I expected nothing different. Nothing different. But they're a true Watch the Space dynasty. Honestly, I'm waiting for Bryson DeChambeau to activate. Obviously, I'm still rooting for my crushers. But I feel like he's...
Yeah, one of us is going to feel like a jerk when Bryson wins. Because he's going to win one of these events, clearly. Mm-hmm. And none of us is going to pick him. You especially, J-Score, as Bryson's biggest fan, are going to feel like a real jerk for not having picked
him. I would feel like a massive, massive fool for ever doubting the brains on Bryson.
But we can't pretend he's not a disappointment so far. I mean, he hasn't...
Oh, it's been sad. Yeah,
and the same goes for his former nemesis, Brooks Koepka. Like, what's going on with Brooks? Could be some injury issues.
Basically.
I think both of them are probably fighting some injuries that they're not willing to really completely reveal. So far, you have to consider both Brooks and Bryson a disappointment in the LIV competition.
For sure. I feel like Brooks generally, you know, they show a lot of shots. Obviously, that's one of the bits. But the fact that Koepka is like cut from coverage more often than not, basically, is... Yeah. I feel like I've barely seen him when I've watched coverage. So,
what about the fireballs? What are we expecting from the fireballs this week? Sergio, we talked about, had a controversial week last week over there at Wentworth in the home of Harry Potter and Emma. Flew back home to Austin, went to the Texas game. That didn't work out for him either. So Sergio's coming off a couple of L's. Is he going to turn it around this week, or the fireballs going to turn it around this week?
Has he shown in his career that he responds well to this negativity? How's his career gone? Has he won any tournaments? Has anything good happened? This guy is a total baller.
I saw him win the Masters. And,
yeah, total baller. Also, super strong ball hitter. And this course ranked amongst the toughest, 7,700 yards if they tip it out this week. This is length and accuracy put together. Bodes well.
Sergio's still one of the best ball strikers on tour. Absolutely. You wouldn't be surprised to see Sergio top five, top 10, win a tournament. You certainly wouldn't be surprised. The question is he going to do it? What do we expect out of Abraham Anser, Carlos Ortiz? Does anyone want to go ahead and say they expect the fireballs to be in the top three this week?
I feel like Abe Anser is lurking a little bit and maybe could strike, but I'm not really trusting Sergio to do much, and I'm not. I wouldn't expect to see them rise up the leaderboard, but...
All right. Well, who do you like? Who are your top three? Obviously, I think all three of us are going to pick the Four Aces to win this week. They're the favorites every time they tee it up. Majestics?
Yeah, Majestics. I mean, Lee Westwood currently holds the record for the lowest.
Not sleeping
round
on Westy. I mean, Westy's playing well lately. I love
Stenson's back.
All right. Let's get to our picks. We know how the competition works. It's not, you don't have to pick the winner to win. We're each putting in $10. We're picking a player. Whoever finishes highest wins. Do you understand that, OTP Lefty?
Yeah, I get it. Net golf.
Okay. So, yeah, it's net golf. Who do you want to pick, OTP?
All right. So, I'm not reaching down in the crowd anymore. I'm going with my new kind of favorite player, and that's Taylor Gooch. I just love the sound that television can capture when he hits a shot. I can't wait to see this stuff in person. I'm going to loiter on the range and watch him hit balls. I'm so pumped.
I think you guys might really get along. I think you may come out of this week with a new best friend in Taylor Gooch. I expect Taylor Gooch to be on this program within the next month.
Well, don't make too hard demands, but OTP builds bridges, not walls. So we'll be able to get something done. Also, you know, something to mention here while we're doing this. Some odds discussion might be worth bringing up.
Yeah, sure.
So, let's hear it. So Gooch is the fourth player on the board. This is available from the DraftKings Sportsbook, who is not paying us. No, this show, as always, presented by us. Plus 900, plus 170 for a top five.
In fact, I'm not sure we even like DraftKings. FanDuel, if you're out there, we're...
This is just where I go. Anyway. Yeah, total. I mean,
Phone lines are open.
Yeah, we're absolutely open. So if you want to inquire about a certain player while we're here, I've got the odds handy. We can do that, or you can look at them yourself.
Yeah, I've looked at them. Taylor Gooch is 9-1. That's a nice pick. You picked the number four. It's not quite chalk, but it's high up there.
Dark horse guy, This is not for the bet. Kokrak, again, good ball hitter, long, difficult golf course. He can smoke it. Back of the pack guy, Swafford at 180-1.
All right, J-Score, who do you like?
So I have a feeling basically everybody's going to be going chalk, so I need to get in there, and I got to go with Cameron Smith. And again, I'm probably going to feel like an idiot when the mad scientist finally finds his stride and goes deep on one of these.
Yeah, Cam courses. Smith now number 3 in the world. He dropped down after not playing last week, and Rory coming in second. Little Lord McIlroy is now number 2 in the world, according to those ratings that we don't like to mention. My understanding,
he's number 2, all right.
My understanding is if he, being the diminutive Irishman, doesn't play that well in Italy, he may drop back to number 3. Nonetheless, Cam Smith is currently number 3. Is there any reason you like him other than the fact that he won the Players and the Open Championship this year?
Yeah, I love watching Scam. I love watching him just scrape it around, play golf. It's dude's a vibe. I love it.
All right.
Cool. Plus 650, second choice on the board.
Yeah, easy. And that's the thing is I needed to do it because, I mean, we've got a guy who roots for the 4 aces. I mean, that's like somebody who roots for the – so let what.
Hey, OTP, pick? Is everything okay over there? Just heard a heavy breath from you. Is everything all right over there?
I'm sorry. I exhale sometimes after I inhale. Deepest apologies to everyone listening. I was going to say that in this current environment, just to be serious for a second, in the current environment, there's some good there's good value play here. Dustin Johnson, the favorite, 5-1. So if you put him together with 3 other people, that's still a profitable move if you put it together, especially if you stay close to the top of the board.
Yeah, you're.
There's a lot of moves you can make here to cover the board if you're listening to this and you're interested.
You're turning this gambling. into a gambling show, and I think that's Rick Rungood's lane. I don't understand a lot of stuff you're saying right now.
Hey, you know, maybe we give Rick a call and we talk to him about covering the board. Right. But I'm like, it's a thing you can do if you. There's only 4 people that you think are going to win, and the shortest odds are 5-1. 5 minus 4, that's profit.
Yeah. So it's my turn, I guess. We've got you sort of chalk. I get to go last. There's Dustin Johnson, of course. You mentioned is the chalk on the board. He's listed at 5-1. DJ has played 4 LIV tournaments. He's finished 8th, 4th, 3rd, and 1st, respectively. So he's trending. He's trending to be the first back-to-back winner in LIV Golf history. I'll tell you guys, DJ's going to win this week. However, I'm dominating you guys already. I've won 3 out of the 4 competitions. I'm going to throw you a bone and not pick Dustin Johnson. I'm going to go way, way, way down the list, even though I know DJ is going to win. So essentially, I'm picking the second place finisher as my part of the competition. DJ's out. I get no credit for DJ when he wins. I'm taking Matt Wolff, 35-1. Matt Wolff, in his 3 efforts on the LIV Golf Tour, has finished 8th, 2nd, 14th. He's no longer in the top 100 in the world. He's 35-1. And when he comes in 2nd this week, you guys should feel very, very bad about yourselves. That's my pick, Matt Wolff.
Matt Wolff. Okay, that's a curveball. I wasn't expecting that. I mean, to be fair, though, Matt Wolff currently ranks 5th in the standings for the LIV Golf Invitation
Tour. Yeah, that's right.
He does.
So, he's playing great golf. I watched him out there. Yeah, he's got all the talent in the world. He's way down the list on every ranking. I looked at the Data Golf. He's not in top 100. I looked at the OWGR World Strokes Rating. He's not in the top 100. He's obviously not in the top 100 in the OWGR normal ratings. He's down the list. He's 35-1. OTP, we're going to get some money on this once we go offline. I like Matt Wolff. I like Patrick Reed, Matt Wolff, and DJ this week. Those are my guys, but I'm going with Matt Wolff at 35-1.
Hey, that's really good. Isn't it wonderful to see this kid back in a good frame of mind?
He seems like such a good kid. He really does. I'm rooting for him more than anybody.
Can I ask a little question about him? Did you actually go watch him play golf on the course?
Yeah, I did.
Did you see him hit any short game shots? Does he do that weird thing? Does he do the outside takeaway deal?
I don't know. You shouldn't quote me. I think he does the little move with his shoulders.
Oh, sure, the trigger. Yeah.
But I don't know about the the weird outside.
That makes sense. But as someone who's very much in the wilderness always, from, 10 to 70 yards, I mean, I'm interested in alternate theories. Like, perhaps I could take it back way, shut. And
I look forward to hearing your report. I assume he's on your list then to spend some time watching.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Gooch and Matt Wolf, that you got a nice little posse that you're going to check out. All right, we got to pick some.
You know, this is going to be super fun. I am so looking forward to seeing players in an environment where they look like they're enjoying themselves, where they don't feel like they're marching to the beat of someone else's drummer, where they're like maybe marching to the beat of St. Lucia.
I want to see you inside the ropes. I want to see you. I want to see you up close and personal. I want some video. I want some iPhone interviews. I'm expecting big things from OTP Lefty, our man on the scene this week in Chicago.
It's going to be great. I've got the shirts all picked out, folks. I don't have any Live Laugh Golf merch to wear. I won't be wearing the badge, but I'll be easy to find anyway. I have a knack for being easy to find places. So, folks, if you're out at the event, I bet you can find me without too much effort.
You'll hear him. So, we got the picks. We got the course. We've got the competition. What about the surrounding hoopla? Big Chicago week. Are you staying in Chicago or are you staying out in Aurora?
Well, I'm not quite in Iowa, but I'm definitely not in what the folks would call, air quotes, Chicago. It costs an unbelievable amount of money to park in downtown Chicago. So your $300 hotel room becomes about $500 once you get taxes and parking. I appreciate the walkability and stuff of downtown, but I just can't fit it in this trip. I am looking forward though to being in a large metropolitan area, eating some good meals. I'm going to see some good friends.
You have anything lined up? Or are we going to Alinea Penumbra?
No.
Next? Still have any? You got any of the tickets to Next?
No, I don't. would you believe this is kind of...
Topolo Bombo? Is that still around? I don't know.
You know what? If I could go back to anywhere that I've been, and I know this is going to sound lame or whatever, but it's Frontera.
Yeah.
That I loved the two meals that I had at Frontera.
Topolo Bombo is also from Rick Bayless, so
okay.
Same chef.
Well, that would work. And we had some amazing hangover food from Jewel Osco right there.
What about?
And I ate David Burt's Prime House with the 70 day age ribeye.
Yeah, I've had a
disappointing
meal or two there. Yep.
It was phenomenal. I stayed in that hotel. You're wrong again. I mean, clearly the good steaks were up here and you couldn't reach them. Anyway.
Folks, I'm 6'1".
It doesn't make any
difference.
I feel
like the one we got to measure because I think something's wrong.
Yeah.
Time with both of you. I got to side with Duff here.
I don't know. Anyway, James Hotel. Staying at great hotels. Been to great concerts there. Don't have time to do sporting events because we're working. I've got a lot of stuff going on, going to see some great friends, going to see some great golf, going to make some new connections with some folks that we've never met before. I have to learn how to ask people questions, and I'm looking forward to that. Just going to be a great time. All positives on the horizon.
So you're staying in Aurora. You're not staying in Chicago. You're going to be there for a little bit?
No.
You're going to pass through?
Am I going to pass through Chicago? Absolutely. We're coming into town at nighttime to do whatever we've got to do or to see whoever we've got to see, Well, I am a bachelor, Eric, I am a bachelor, and there are ways that people can make connections with one another through the great use of technology.
All right,
here's
another too much information situation from OTP.
No, I didn't say anything.
What about the extracurriculars? Party? Do we have any party information?
Are you getting there early enough for the pre-party and have we secured an invite?
Oh, the pre-party. We haven't even thought about that.
No, I have not.
That may be Country Club adjacent only. That's the only podcast welcome. I don't know.
Ooh, well, I want to say that.
We're not in the pre-party yet. Are you going to be there for Friday and Saturday? I heard we got St. Lucia and Jason Derulo.
St. Lucia.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just like everyone ever claims, I'm a fan of all kinds of music. You wouldn't believe if you saw my playlist, all of the wide variety of stuff that's on it, the biggest cliche in the history of the world.
So you've heard of St. Lucia. I just assumed St. Lucia was somewhere Big J took his private jet.
Yeah, in fact, that's all I know about St. Lucia. And it is. St. Lucia was included in the Wall Street Journal report today. Jay did take the jet, the PGA Tour jet, to St. Lucia. It's quite a coincidence that St. Lucia is now appearing at the Live Golf event.
I'll be really interested in what the vibe of that is like. I mean, I love outdoor shows more than anything. Very stoked for that.
So it's
can't wait to see what the alchemy
is. If it's anything like Boston, it's going to be really cool. I like Jason Derulo. That probably means he's not cool.
I don't know anything about Jason Derulo other than he says his name a lot in songs, and that's about where it ends. I know he makes dance or pop or something like that.
Did we talk about Italian beef? Are you going to get any Italian beef while you're in the Chicago area?
You know, that was the thing. I wasn't coming out making statements about Chicago because I've only been a few times on a very tight schedule almost every time. So what do you guys have for me? Like, what should I be doing?
Al's, Johnny's, Mr. Beef, Portillo. Have you guys watched this, The Bear Show? This is
The Bear? No. Yes. Yeah. I just finished The Bear last night, actually.
And how'd you like it?
I loved it.
It's not your favorite show, though, right? I mean, I feel like...
No, not my favorite. Not my favorite, but I was hooked. I like the 30-minute pacing, and I cruised right through it.
The Bear is a show. I don't know what network it was originally on. It's now on Netflix, I think, right? Netflix or Hulu.
FX Entertainment or something, I think,
right.
Is behind it.
It's probably an FX production. But it's a show about a kind of a Michelin-starred chef who returns to his family Italian beef restaurant in Chicago. That's
speaking of Big J, this chef used to work at the French Laundry.
Yeah, French Laundry. We'll get to the Fortinet, I think, later in this, what will probably be 2.5-hour episode. But we'll get there. All right, St. Lucia, Jason Derulo, anything else you're looking forward to? You going to pick up some merch while you're there in Chicago?
Almost without doubt. Looking forward to repping Stinger GC, as well as a couple of them that have already said that they were not going to exist anymore. I'm kind of into that sort of thing, so I might throw some Fireball GC stuff in the bag or in the tote.
I don't think anyone really confirmed that.
Yes, of course. But rumors have been shown in this environment to turn out to be correct a lot.
I feel pretty confident that Sergio is going to change his from the Fireballs.
Just the other day, I wore a t-shirt that was 25 years old. I bought when I was at Purdue. That's a Purdue t-shirt that still exists and is still functional. Shout out to me 25 years ago who weighed 100 pounds less than this when he bought the t-shirt. Love that. Still fits. Attaboy. In 20 years to hand that to my godson's son and say, this was once what Los Toros have. This was the genesis of Los Toros. This is their origin story. And incredible. Your man, OTP, was there at the start. Moment. Yes, it will be a magical moment, without doubt.
All right.
Duff, what's next?
Next up, we touched on this a little bit in text. I've been keeping you guys in the dark, but we've got a new segment here on Live Laugh Golf. You guys don't know about it. It's going to be a game show. We're going to do a game show. You both know that I'm a big Nielsen ratings guy.
Yes.
I love the Nielsen. Just love to deep dive in that. Love to compare. It's a lot of times it's apples and oranges, right? We've got different network. We've got broadcast stuff. We've got cable stuff. Different networks have different reach. We got different times, certainly different sports, but I dig it. I love the Nielsen rating stuff, the business of TV. So we're going to do a ratings thing. I hold in my hand this week's Nielsen ratings. And specifically, I have the ratings for the pro golf event of last weekend. That was, of course, the DP World Tour's BMW PGA Championship. It was broadcast on the Golf Channel. The Golf Channel, the ratings, we do what the Nielsen folks release is average viewership over the course of the broadcast. The ratings, the average viewership, I'll tell you right now, was last week 241,000. 241,000 folks turned in to see Shane Lowry win the DP World Tour PGA BMW Championship, beating Rory McIlroy. You guys tuned in, right? You saw some of it, at least.
We saw some of it.
So we're going to do a little.
Am I counted in that 241,000 then?
Yeah. Yeah. You were in the average. You're in the average. So 241,000 viewers. It rated. It was among the top 150 programs on Sunday. So I thought it'd be fun to do every week. We pick one of the tournaments that was broadcast on American television, and we do a little game. So let's do a game.
From Hollywood, the
ratings
capital of the world, in color, it's the
ratings
game. And here's the star of our show and your host,
Desert Duffer. So the rules of the game, we're going to play this every week. The rules of the game are simple. Each week, we'll be comparing the average final round viewership of a professional golf tournament, this week, the BMW PGA Championship, televised on Golf Channel, against another television program, sometimes a sporting event, sometimes not. I will give you each the name of the program, its start time, always going to be Eastern time, and the network on which it was broadcast. You two simply have to tell me whether you think the program I've named averaged more or fewer viewers. Just answer higher if you think the program averaged more viewers than the golf, and lower if you think the program averaged fewer viewers than the golf. So, for example, if I name literally any college or NFL football game starting at any time on any network, you would answer higher because it drew more viewers,
Bob,
than the golf tournament. Does that make sense? We got it?
Is it time to say $1 yet?
No.
Is the event you name, I say if it's higher or lower than the golf tournament?
Yeah, and it's not going to be $1, J-Score, OTP Lefty. It's not going to be $1 because these are going to be directed towards you individually. You're going to have to answer one way or another. So the first of you to get three programs correct will be this week's winner. We'll keep a running tally throughout the season. And the winner at the end of the tour championship will get a prize from me. Desert Duffer. So we do have to determine who goes first. We'll do a closest to the pin ratings question to determine that. J-Score, as the younger and prettier of our contestants, you'll go first on this one. And this one, OTP Lefty, is a Price is Right style bidding game. So the question, J-Score, how many viewers did last year's PGA Tour Fortinet Championship, won by Max Homa, average in the final round?
I'm going to go with 120,000.
120,000. OTB Lefty, your guess.
$120,001, Bob.
OTB Lefty, you're the winner. The answer is 303,000 for the fall series Fortinet Championship. OTB Lefty, you'll go first in our game.
That's crazy.
The very first question. The program on the Investigation Discovery Channel at 11 p.m. on Sunday, Still a Mystery. That's the program. Did it do higher or lower numbers than the BMW PGA Championship? Still a Mystery on Investigation Discovery.
Higher.
Higher is correct. 380,000 viewers. Yes, great job, great job. That's one for OTP Lefty.
Lots of murderous housewives out there.
The very first question, correct. Still a Mystery on Investigation Discovery Channel, averaged 380,000 viewers. So you were correct. So it's 1-0 OTP Lefty over J-Score. J-Score, your turn on Travel Channel at 10 p.m. on Sunday. That's Eastern time. Paranormal, Caught on Cam. Higher or lower than the BMW PGA Championship?
Oh, man. Have you seen those teaser commercials for that paranormal stuff? I mean, you got to tune in and see what's going to happen, right? Oh, kind of early in the day, but still
no,
late.
No, 10 p.m. It was 10 p.m.
10 p.m. Okay, I'm gonna say higher.
Higher. J-Score says higher. J-Score, you are correct. Paranormal, Caught on Cam. We're all squared up. 1-1 is the score. Next up, OTP Lefty. The next program is from Oxygen Media at 7 p.m. on Sunday. Mastermind of Murder. Higher or lower than the BMW PGA Championship final round?
Can I request a spelling?
Mastermind, M-A-S-T-E-R-M-I-N-D of Murder.
7 p.m. seems like a very early time for murder. Like the 11 o'clock thing, I could see a sad suburban housewife
dreaming of murder.
7 o'clock is a festive time, time spent with family and friends. I have a time there where I
OTP Lefty. We need your answer, please.
Lower, Bob.
Oh, I'm sorry, OTP Lefty. Mastermind of Murder on Oxygen Media actually recorded 287,000 average viewers. That's higher than the BMW PGA Championship.
I'd like to request a recap.
We're still at 1-1. J-Score, it's your turn.
Okay.
The next program from the A&E Network at 8 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. Biography, WWE Legends. Higher or lower than the BMW PGA Championship?
I don't want to overthink this one. This one is definitely higher.
Higher.
We're going to go higher. This is a WWE.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What? Woo-hoo.
Biography WWE Legends on the A&E Network only recorded an average viewership of 163,000. That's lower than the Irishman Shane Lowry in winning his first BMW PGA Championship.
Dang.
You're still tied at 1-1.
OTP Lefty. People don't even have that. People don't even have that on their package, J-Score.
OTP Lefty, our next program.
So ready.
On Fox Sports 1 on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock p.m. Big East women's volleyball, Nebraska versus Creighton. Higher or lower than the BMW PGA Championship?
Nebraska's in the Big Ten.
I think Creighton is in the Big East, and they have the television contract. Let's not dig too deep into those guys.
Women's volleyball on a Wednesday night. So everyone that I know that's associated with Creighton is passionate about Creighton. Like, I wonder how big the Wednesday night small group church scene is in Nebraska. Maybe they all watch the volleyball before they settle down for small group. I'm going to say lower.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What?
Nebraska versus Creighton drew an average viewership of 246.
Got the in-state rivalry. I'm so stupid.
246,000, just barely beating Rory McIlroy, Shane Lowry, John Rahm in the BMW PGA Championship. I know you guys can break through. You're tied 1-1. First to three wins. J-Score, it's your play.
How many of these did you make?
How many of these did you do?
J-Score, the next program.
All right. Okay.
Friday night at 7:35 p.m. Once again on Fox Sports 1. This is NASCAR truck racing.
Oh.
From Kansas. Not the regular NASCAR. This is NASCAR truck racing. Friday night, 7:35 Eastern time on Fox Sports 1. Higher or lower than the BMW PGA Championship?
So I have tuned into that before myself, but that aside, I gotta say Friday prime time, you kind of just throw that on, not expecting much. I'm gonna go lower.
Oh, I'm sorry. NASCAR truck racing on Friday night on Fox Sports 1 drew 436,000, blowing away Shane Lowry and the BMW PGA Championship.
On in every bar.
I gotta read up on these ratings.
Question?
Yes. OTP Lefty.
Anything? Can I ask how the BMW PGA Championship did in its time slot?
No, you can't ask that question. We don't have that data.
Well, I mean, we wouldn't want to.
No, I just don't have the answers. That they don't do that kind of. There's no time slot. It started at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning Eastern Time. Moving on, OTB Lefty, our next program. You guys can do it. Should we shorten this to first to two wins, or you think we'll get to three? All right, the next program.
Let's do it this way. He's got. After I get this right, he'll have a chance to match. No, I'm a gentleman.
I'm the game host. We're playing to three. OTP Lefty, next program from the Disney Channel, 8 o'clock in the morning, same time as the DP World Tour BMW PGA Championship. Lego Friends, Heartlake.
Higher.
I'm sorry. Lego Friends drew only 150,000 viewers at 8 o'clock.
Get your kids out to bed, y'all. Get them watching them Lego Friends.
Back to you, J-Score.
Okay.
The next program. From the TBS network.
Okay.
At 11 p.m. on Sunday evening, the program is called Love Life. TBS network, 11 p.m. Sunday evening, Love Life. Higher or lower than the BMW PGA Championship?
I've never heard of that show. TBS seems like a big deal. TBS feels like one of those that just is on in the background a lot, but I don't know. Maybe higher?
Yes! We're back on Finally. The board. Let's go.
Finally, we've broken through. J-Score, yes. Love Life on TBS Network at 11 p.m. drew 255,000 viewers, just edging out the BMW PGA Championship on Golf Channel. You're down 2-1 now, OTP Lefty. Time for a comeback. Got another sports program, also from Sunday at 1 o'clock p.m.
Clutch AF.
Now, this was on a broadcast network. This was over the air on Sunday. Remember, there was football going on. This is on NBC at 1 p.m. The program, the Rugby Sevens World Cup. Higher or lower than the BMW PGA Championship?
United States, correct.
I do not have that information. It's not available.
What network?
NBC.
Higher. Take that, J-Score. Get you some.
The Rugby Sevens on NBC at 1 o'clock on Sunday did 357,000 viewers, outpacing
you poor people
the BMW PGA Championship. Before we get to the tiebreaker, you're now tied 2-2. Do you have any idea what the sports that people were watching actually did in terms of rating?
I know that from reading an article that Monday Night Football did 19.65 million viewers on Monday night.
Yeah, so sticking with the same day, Sunday Night Football on NBC drew 23,296,000.
So we're talking about 100X.
It's a lot
100X.
More. I'm no mathematician.
Yeah. It's not the same sport. Not the same league. Not the same county. Not the same planet. It's crazy.
Okay, tiebreaker. It's 2-2. J-Score, opportunity
Get him,
to
J-Score.
Win. The program, The Serpent Queen. The network, Stars primary. The time, Sunday, 8.02 p.m. Higher or lower than the BMW PGA Championship?
It's got to be lower. Stars, that feels, they're trying to give it to me for free. Nobody watches that. Lower.
Folks, we have a winner. We have our first winner.
I did it.
In the ratings game.
We found our stride there at the end. We started cold. I needed maybe a couple more range balls, but we found our stride.
Well, let's give the folks the numbers. The Serpent Queen on Stars, 8.02 p.m. Sunday night, drew 194,000 viewers. Not too much lower than the BMW PGA Championship. Congratulations to J-Score. It was a little bit of a slog. We're going to be better going forward. That's the game. That's the new segment. J-Score, our first champion in the ratings game. The ratings.
Boo.
All right, what else? You guys want to talk a little litigation, a little lawsuit action?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, is there anything going on with the lawsuit? I didn't really get to dive in, but I feel like people were tweeting about like the contracts and some redacted documents got released with some more information available. And if I understand it right, the traditional PGA Tour media water carriers are getting a lot of their talking points debunked again. But I don't know what I haven't had time to look into it. Have had a chance to read into that?
I have, in fact. Yeah. So this week there were a couple of filings. The first was the party submitted a joint statement. It's a statement that the parties get together and talk about their plan for scheduling, mostly discovery, and it's filed in advance of the initial case management conference. That case management conference will be held tomorrow at 11 a.m. here in California in the Northern District. There wasn't too much interesting in the joint report. There was some disagreement between the parties. For example, the PGA Tour would like to have depositions limited to a total of 150 hours, and LIV Golf would like to have depositions limited to a total of 100 hours. So unsurprisingly, the defendants, PGA Tour, would like to have more time. They're probably going to end up getting a little sympathy from the judge here, not only because she seems to be sympathetic to them in general, but also because there are multiple plaintiffs. Each one of these player plaintiffs is going to have to be deposed. And so the PGA Tour is probably going to have the better of the argument that they need additional time. The other thing that I noticed that there was some disagreement on was with respect to third-party subpoenas. So when you're doing discovery, you kind of presumptively have the ability to get discovery from the other party. That means you can get document requests from them. You can serve requests for admission and interrogatories, which are written questions to them, and you get to depose them presumptively. With third parties, it's different. You have to serve a subpoena on someone. So there'll be that. For example, LIV Golf is very likely to serve subpoenas on parties from the DP World Tour, probably the major championship organizations. And one of the things asked for in this report was that when a third party subpoena was served, if there were any communications between the PGA Tour and that party, the PGA Tour would have to turn over those communications within 3 days. The PGA Tour, unsurprisingly, is resisting that effort. You can imagine how that would play out in reality. So you can expect that LIV Golf will serve a subpoena on the DP World Tour. They'll say, I want these communications. What typically happens is the lawyer for the PGA Tour will get in touch with the lawyer for the DP World Tour to discuss how they're going to respond to this subpoena. It's unsurprising that the LIV Tour would like those communications. They're not presumptively privileged. It's possible that those two parties could enter into a joint defense agreement, which could make that a little bit dicey. But at the outset, LIV Golf would want to know if there were emails that said, hey, what do we do? What are we going to do about this? You know, these guys are hassling us. That's not surprising.
Okay. So, hey, you've got experience in this line of work and stuff. How often does someone make a really big mistake in this part of the process?
This isn't the kind of thing that's going to cost you the case. I mean, this is all at the outset, you ask for as much as you can get. You're not, I guess you could make a mistake by giving away the store by responding to a written interrogatory with a response that says that essentially admits the wrongdoing that's being alleged against you. That never happens, I would say. Almost universally, what you get in response to written discovery are not answers. The real
Well, hey, let's be honest, Duff. Most of what people know about legal proceedings, they know from watching John Grisham movies. So how often do things turn in a way that's dramatic versus how is it like car manufacturing?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's not dramatic. It'll be so what's going to happen at this status conference tomorrow is the judge is going to make a decision on these disputes, these minor disputes, which frankly are not large disputes relative to what they can be in this kind of complex litigation. And she's going to say, okay, I'm going to give you 150 hours total, or I'm going to give you 125 hours, but you can come back to me and ask for more if it seems like you need more. Nothing is going to determine the outcome of this case tomorrow. It's not. This is preliminary stuff. So that was the first thing.
But couldn't it affect public opinion, right? I mean, public opinion and just the narrative that rolls through. Because I saw some of the details that are coming out today have to do with the scheduling of the golf tournament and the coexistence and the intention that Greg Norman has set himself. And do you think there's a chance that during this process,
details
like that can continue to come out and maybe sway public opinion?
No. So again, we're talking about different things. Tomorrow is the scheduling conference. It's going to be very sort of clinical. You know, we're going to talk about when document production needs to begin, when it's going to be finished by, how many depositions you're going to get, how many interrogatories you're going to get, what number of 30B6 witnesses you're going to get. 30B6 witnesses.
These are big words.
Yeah. A 30B6 witness is somebody who you take a deposition of someone who is speaking on behalf of the company as opposed to speaking on their own behalf. So it's going to be all of this clinical sort of organizational scheduling stuff. It's not going to color public opinion. What you're talking about...
So where's all this other stuff coming from then?
Yeah, you're talking about leaks of documents. And so this is the second thing that's happened this week. I assume you're talking about leaks of documents because if you're talking about filings, we're not going to get many of those for a long time. So
okay,
what happened this week was... there were some documents that had been sealed and redacted in the course of the temporary restraining order process. So the PGA Tour, in its opposition to the player plaintiff's temporary restraining order filing, redacted some material that they had gotten from the LIV player contracts and the LIV rules and regulations. There was some skirmish over whether those should be redacted, should be sealed. We got an order a couple of weeks ago from the judge that said much of this needs to be unsealed or unredacted. We got some unredacted filings on Monday. most notable of which was the Taylor Gooch contract. However, it wasn't completely unredacted. There are still some significant redactions. So every party or the supporters of every party could claim victory by looking at that contract because there's a bunch of stuff redacted. So if you're a person who says, oh, well, they're just playing against their guarantee, this doesn't really matter, we don't know for sure. There's a whole bunch of stuff redacted still in the contract that could say you don't get paid until you reach $100 million in your contract. We don't know for sure. We certainly didn't see that in the unredacted portions of the contract. There were a couple of notable provisions in the contract that we did see ungoverned. Specifically, we had heard previously some rumors about promotional activities that were going to be required of players. A lot of the podcasters and general golf media people were saying, oh, wait until they find out what they have to do for LIV Tour. Then they're really not going to like it. Well, we looked at Taylor Gooch's contract. He's required with reasonable notice to participate in 7 service days in 2022 and a maximum of 12 in each subsequent year, 8-hour days. In terms of you having to do everything for Mohammed bin Salman, that's not in the contract. So that whole thing was absurd. If you ever take a look at, for example, a Major League Baseball contract, including the uniform player contract that was collectively bargained for and is attached to the CBA, you'll see that those players are required to participate in promotional activities for the team, and they don't get a limit of 12 days. They're pretty much, you got to do it if it's reasonable and we give you notice. So nothing to see here from where I'm standing on the promotional front. And then there was a second thing, which was, oh, you've got to get permission. You've got to get pre-approval if you want to do an interview with LIV. This is like a cult, man. Well, again, there's something like that in the Major League Baseball Uniform Players Agreement. It's for the entirety of the season. You've got to get pre-approval from your team before you can do interviews. But that's not what's in Taylor Gooch's contract. Taylor Gooch's contract says that he cannot be accredited to act as a journalist in relation to the league or a tournament. So essentially, they're preventing him from being an embedded reporter for an organization. LIV Golf is clearly here trying to protect its broadcast rights that it's now trying to shop around to get paid for. Nothing interesting there. And then with respect to providing exclusive interviews, it says player must not provide exclusive interviews or commentaries or enter into any agreement involving exclusive interviews or appearances in relation to any event or league activity without obtaining pre-approval. So that's just for the tournaments, tournament weeks. Hey, you can't do exclusive interviews during tournament weeks because we're running media stuff during tournament weeks. It doesn't say, Patrick Reed, when you're in London or Wentworth or Surrey for the BMW PGA Championship, you can't do an interview without our pre-approval. It doesn't apply to that. It's talking about tournament weeks, surrounding tournaments. And again, in other sports, they include these provisions in contracts for an entire season. Hey, during baseball season, you can't do any interviews without running it by us first. That's not what this is. This is not very restrictive at all.
The funny part about this, Duff, is like, honestly, this goes beyond even sports. There are plenty of professional jobs that you take that basically say, thou shalt not talk to the media and represent the organization in any way, shape, or form.
Of course. At my old firm, as a partner in a big law firm, I was not permitted to speak to the media without first running it by the firm management committee.
Just basic business at this point. So there's a lot in there that is just basic business. I was interested in the players are not permitted to gamble on any golf tournament, either directly or indirectly.
Shocking. Can you believe it? They're not allowed to gamble.
Boo.
Yeah, there's not, I mean, there's.
I figured OTP might not like that.
Yeah. So in a nutshell, what I saw was nothing particularly interesting. It was a standard contract that was given to somebody who, by all accounts in the media, has been paid or guaranteed to be paid tens of, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. Surprised that there are some conditions attached to that.
Some of this that I'm interested in, though, is according to this SI article, any suspensions or disciplinary actions by LIV Golf regarding a player will be made public once the matter is final. They obviously don't disclose to what level of detail. So I assume, but again, that to me, that means they are going to publicize them, but will it be the Class Axe League over at LIV, just like it is at the PGA Tour? Time
yeah, well, that's so what man. That's doing while Jason types away on his keyboard, what that's doing is giving the league officials the ability to publicize. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to, right? They have the right to publicize disciplinary actions. They may decide they don't want to do that in the end. Maybe that's better for business, just like the PGA Tour has always done. But it's not a league policy not to publicize. And if they want to, if you get caught doping or if you get caught gambling, they're going to be under the contract within their rights to publicize that suspension.
I heard there's also some stuff in there about team apparel. I know a lot of the traditional golf media wants to talk about what these guys can wear and what they can't wear.
I know. It's so weird that they keep
mainly wear team apparel in a limited display of a third party partner.
Well, the weird thing is, who cares? I mean, the point is they're trying to place this league under the umbrella of what they've always known in golf, right? Like, oh, in golf, you can wear whatever you want. Who cares? This is different. This is a different league. We have rules. We're getting paid money. You're not playing for your dinner every week. You're getting guaranteed payments, and we have certain rules. And oh, also, the players have sophisticated representation, presumably, who have read these contracts and decided that they're worth it. Yeah, you may need to wear team gear. Who cares? Honestly.
No, truly. I mean, honestly, a lot of the main guys on tour, the big guys, they don't get to really, they might have a say and an influence, but they don't necessarily get to dictate what they wear. Plus, they're just plastered in logos, which looks...
The one other thing that was notable is that what is clear through the contract and the league rules and regulations was that players are essentially encouraged to play in what the regulations call a worldwide golf schedule. So on weeks that there's not a live event, go ahead and play PGA Tour, DP World Tour, Asian Tour, wherever you want to play. And these promotional requirements that are in Taylor Gooch's contract, it was clear that he can get out of it if he's playing golf. If he has golf activities of any kind to do, he can get out of those promotional activities. It's very much you're going to do stuff to support the league. At max 12 to 8-hour days. It's not a big deal. This is in your best interest too.
Yeah. And the note on the worldwide thing too, one thing to note this week, 8 different groups with players from 3 different countries, which is pretty wild. And again, just more of what Liv's trying to do as far as take it global, keep it worldwide. So looking forward to OTP's full report from Chicago. But what haven't we hit on?
Well, there's another golf tournament being held in the Napa Valley. This is where the PGA Tour sends the bottom half of its tour every year to go and try to get off the wait list at the French Laundry, bring their wife, and enjoy some wine country after they miss the cut. We've got some real notables in this field. We've got Jason Duffner. We've got Zach Blair, I think the highest ranked player.
ZB.
We've got Max Homa, last year's winner, and Hideki Matsuyama, are probably the most notable players in the field. It's not a strong field. Fortinet Championship, PGA Tour.
Hey, listen, this is a chance where people get well. A couple of years ago, Stuart Sink started the end of his career revolution with a win, which he followed up with a win the next year. Max Homa started his rise to becoming a consistent top 20 player with a win here last year. This is a place where people go to get healthy. Obviously, it's a little bit of a clam bake for the wives and for the scenery and for all of that stuff. But if you've got some goals and you've got a little bit of game, you can get something going here that goes off into the future and people are
Well, the other thing is, this is going to be the last year for a certain kind of grab, and that is a FedEx Cup points grab. This is the last year that the wraparound will award points for these events. So what you've gotten in the last several years are, again, these bottom of the barrel, barely holding onto their card. Some of them don't even have a card. Players coming into these fall events that don't have any of the good players in them and stocking up on points that eventually get them into the top 125 and into the FedEx Cup playoffs. This is the last year. First of all, this year is only going to be top 70 get into the playoffs. But starting next year, no FedEx Cup points for any fall events. Year starts in January. This is the last go-round for the FedEx Cup points grab. So good luck, the Buck Club and the Tree Farm.
Luck, Zach Blair.
Last year of the Welfare Tour. The only other interesting thing that I saw in golf in reading about what was going to happen this week on the PGA Tour was Ricky Fowler now playing cavity back irons.
I did see
cavity
that.
Cavity back. Yes.
huge switch. There was a big fashionable thing now that happened where everybody wanted to play. Everybody wanted to play irons like Tiger and have blades. And if you
saw that was started by a man in North Dakota, from what I understand, a member at your club. Are you aware of this? I've heard of something called the Year of the Blade.
Anyway,
22-23 might be the year of the game improvement iron, and Ricky Fowler is going to get it started for us. If you stop hitting the sweet spot, good for you, buddy. Look for some answers in equipment. He's gone back to Butch Harmon. No. Like, things are happening. You can't see this, folks. J-Score is shaking his head at me.
It's over.
He says,
he's grasping. He's frantic for anything. He's just scrambling, looking for some piece of lumber, hoping to get that door he can float on into safety, not die in the cold, bitter ocean.
This is over for Rick. This is poppycock. This tournament is so full of jokers that it's impossible to bet on. Like, I won't have a nickel on this tournament because you have no idea what's going to happen. 2 years ago, Stuart Sink won this golf tournament from the grave. He died in 2008 and came back and won this tournament in 2020.
What are the numbers for Hideki and for Max Homa? Are they at negative? Do we have odds on?
I will not investigate. I am not interested. This is not what we do. We do not go chasing things like this. This is not what we do.
So good luck to all the folks at the French Laundry dealing with angry PGA Tour wives this week. And, you know, hopefully the FBO in Napa will make it through. I don't know if Jay's going to take the jet there this weekend.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm so pumped. Can we do losers?
We can't. First, we should talk about the LPGA quickly. They're up in Portland. I don't remember the name. It's the Portland Open as far as
– Portland Classic. They have a – CME Portland Classic.
I don't know if it's CME. They've got a new sponsor.
Yeah, no, it's Amazing CRE.
The Amazing CRE Portland Classic up in Portland. All the usual suspects, I assume, will be there. Well, maybe not all of them. Is Lexi going to be up there? Anyway, Portland Classic. What else you got? You got a hater and loser, OTP Lefty. You got a hater and loser.
We kind of have a three-way tie this week. Not for a hater, but for a loser. Of the week.
Okay, who's the loser of the week?
The three beneficiaries of Live Defections. Those folks who have sought a brighter future and a new day with Live Golf, doing the right thing, have created opportunities for those on the welfare tour. And let's go to Sports Illustrated and our friends to listen to the heartfelt story of our losers of the week, Jimmy Walker, former PGA champion.
I know Mighty!
Who was able.
You guys get that?
I absolutely get that. Come on, man. Anyway, who was able to secure a top 50 lifetime money exemption due to other people's permanent suspension. And let's go down the list. The homie. Jason Duffner also moved into the top 50 in career money. Didn't just need one. He needed two waiting by the phone, and he got it. Yeah, baby. Love it. Hell yeah. And my personal favorite player from 15 years ago when he did nothing but do things wrong in the eyes of the media, the pride of Slovakia, Rory Sabatini, moved into the top 25 in career money to get another year because of suspensions. Let's go. Going to get 32 starts this year playing in the BFW Connecticut Open.
As funny as that all is, I don't understand it.
Congratulations, Rory. Congratulations, Jason. Congratulations, Jimmy. You have one of the best Instagrams possible. You own the best backup Instagrams. You take space photography. You cook beautiful steaks. You drink the whiskey. Jimmy Walker. He drinks the whiskey. He shoots guns at long distance in the desert. Does that sound familiar? He cooks steaks outside, inside. He makes beautiful salads. He's got a lovely family. We like everything about the guy, but we might have benefited slightly from being on the welfare tour. So shout out, Jimmy. Let's go.
I'm learning all of this about Jimmy Walker for the first time. It sounds dynamite. We may need to get Jimmy Walker on this program. But I don't understand this career money list thing. Like, it's a career money list. Either you're on it, it shouldn't. How does it matter whether you're suspended or active or playing on another tour?
You bit the hand. You're out.
Either you won the money or you didn't.
Eraser. You take an eraser to the line. You're gone. See ya.
But you're probably the king here of writing rules that apply unless they don't. Like, you probably wrote some of this crap for people. Like, don't sit there and try to play dumb. I just did what they wanted me to do. These are in the bylaws of organizations that were written by lawyers. These rules were written by lawyers, you nitwit. You know that's true. You know that's true. You wrote this crap for people that are hanging on, dragging their nails on their way out the door. And this is one of the things that they do so that people who have a little bit of name recognition, who did good in the past, who are totally gone in terms of their relevance to the game, who can stay there and keep going, that's the way they can stay on the tour. Like, hey, let's give a round of applause for 1947 PGA champion Jimmy Walker, everybody. He's made three cuts.
I'm going to get that as a sound effect. We're going to have a Jimmy Walker Dynamite sound effect.
He's made three cuts since he won a major, my boy. But I want to tell you, it is Duffer. If you're not following this guy on Instagram, you're missing out. He's in our demographic. He's got a beautiful home. He has a telescope and he takes these pictures of outer space that are unbelievable. He's a great shot. He's like shoots and hunts and does stuff. His wife loves to hunt. She's an equestrian. Fantastic. These people are living the life that we're trying to. Yeah, they're living the life we're trying to live. So shout out to Jimmy Walker for benefiting from all of these arcane rules. He had nothing to do with it. It says in the article he thought he was done until he got the call and said, dude, you're back in if you want to be in. And he asked his kids and they said, do you want to be in?
One shot.
I think I'm going to take a shot at this. So
what's his
shout out these three.
What are we looking at?
43.
Oh, baby.
43. Yeah, but this guy was before he found his game, he was the consummate journeyman, played a couple hundred starts before he got his first win, had like 3 years where he was a relevant, like top 20 player, where he was kicking butt, culminated in a PGA championship win. Just what a heartwarming story, right? How can you, it can never be wrong.
Well,
and then
there's Jason Duffner,
who I used to write
for sitting forlorn looking. Everybody loves stuff.
And waggling his freaking brains out. That's the only thing I remember about him. But he's in the top 50 because he was playing in the big money era. But the welfare tour is back to save another guy. Hey, at least it's an interesting guy. Let's go with it. Let's enjoy it. But anyway,
let's get them both on the program. We'll do a two-at-one interview.
Does Duffner need a hat sponsor?
Anyway, the only Rory in our lives, Rory Sabatini, the pride of Slovakia, Jason Duffner, Jimmy Walker, congratulations. You're our losers of the week, but in a good way. We love you, baby.
I'm going to check with all my Serbian cousins to see how we feel about the Slovaks.
Come on down.
I'm not sure where we are on Slovaks right now, but Sabatini, he's got his own style.
Like he played through a guy during a tournament, and that is 100% a Duffer move. Like absolutely losing your patience with someone and saying, I'm gone. I'm leaving you, Baxter. I'm out. I'm done with you.
Baxter getting a drive-by. There's like a 90% chance that this episode's never going to see the light of day, but we've had a good time.
No, you can cut minutes of this, and you hate it. Because the only reason you hate this episode is because I'm funny here. That's the only reason you hate it.
Well, you're drunk. I don't know if you're funny, but you're there.
I'm sitting here trying to figure out that I'm trying to.
I think we just need to.
Was that really a loser segment? Was that a loser segment?
Stringing out of the bottom.
Like
now.
I feel like Jimmy Walker should subscribe and rate this thing 5 stars at this point. Like I
know. I feel bad about it. You called him a loser. I want to be best friends with Jim. Like,
yeah, I feel like
It doesn't always have. It doesn't always have to be brutal. It doesn't always have to be brutal.
Probably our first YouTube video is you and Taylor and me and Jimmy. And sorry, J-Score, you're going to have to film because we got a best friends.
Yeah, it doesn't always have to be brutal. He's a loser. We love him, but he was a beneficiary this week. He benefited from the welfare tour.
All right. Anything else? Do we have anything else? We got through. It's Corn Ferry. No, they're off. Akshay's probably somewhere enjoying life as a 20-year-old. Anything else?
How's the giveaway going?
We should do a reminder. So far, a very low turnout on the giveaway. We know people are listening. Oh. I see the download numbers up, but people, I don't know. I guess people don't want a Torque GC hat, but it's still live. We're going to keep it going until Friday. So get your entries in.
Tell them what the rules are again.
Yeah. So for those of you who weren't listening to the last podcast, the rules are go onto Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and a review, pick your individual winner for this week in Live Chicago. If you don't use Apple Podcasts, leave a rating on wherever you leave ratings. Send us a screenshot of your rating and review to contests@livelaughgolf.com. Person who picks the winner or closest to the winner will get a hat of their choice, a Live Golf team hat.
Beautiful.
Anything else?
I'm good here.
That's it. I'm onward. I'm mentally in chambers right now.
All right. Both of you travel safely to Washington and to Illinois, respectively. I may go to Montecito this week. I don't know. It's tough. I'm going to spend the weekend thinking about how my life is inconsequential as compared to Jimmy Walker's and, you know, figuring out what I can do in these last couple of decades.
Scroll through that Instagram and get some inspiration.
All right. We'll see you guys Sunday night with OTP Lefty's recap of what will surely be a monumental experience at Live Chicago.
Yes, the debrief will be amazing. And as always, go
see you Sunday. Now I'm feeling so free.